talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. We're talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. My name is Anthony. I'm with my man, P.
What's up, everybody?
And we back for round 14. It's the 14th episode, man. We're getting it in. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, Ant. You know, looking forward to checking out these fights tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. But, I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to be at the Thursday night fights at the Armory. It's promoted by Raging Babe. And the main card is a lightweight championship in North Carolina. It's Marco Bailey versus Steve Massey. And Haseem Rahman Jr., he's on the card, too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that's cool.
On the card. And, yeah, just reminding people we're going to be there tomorrow. And, doors open at 6. Fight start at 7 p.m. And that's 220 Foster Street, Durham, North Carolina. Today we're going to be talking about last Saturday's fights, 154-pound card, Arislandi Lara and Terrell Gouche. Sorry, last time I was pronouncing Gouche, but it's Gouche.
A lot of people yeah, was pronouncing it that way, so.
You know, I was just looking how it's pronounced, you know, just looking at it, pronouncing it, but yeah, it's Gouche. And, the big fight on there, Jermell Charlo, Erickson Lubin, and Jared Swift-Hurd versus Austin Trout. And pretty much all these fights went the way we said, right?
For the most part. Yeah. You know, for the most part, definitely they all turned out to be decent fights. You know, the Charlo fight, which we thought would be a very good fight, turned out to be a very short fight, but it was good while it lasted. I just wish that maybe at least he could have won a couple of rounds just to really see something. He clipped Lubin so early that it just, we didn't get a chance to really see anything.
I know, man. Like, at that start of the bell, I expected there to be a bit of a chess match before, you know, somebody got caught with something. Yeah. But I guess there was an experience factor there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that record, we were kind of looking at the records, you know, 29-0 versus 18-0.
Right.
You know, sometimes they don't make difference. Like we said, sometimes numbers don't, you know, yeah, numbers don't make the fighter, but experience makes a fighter. You know, it depends on when you get the experience in whatever number of fights you have. And it showed that he didn't have the experience needed because the mistake he made was just a simple mistake, you know?
Right.
He just kind of ducked low right into Charlo's right hand.
Beautiful shot.
You could hear it.
It was a beautiful shot. I mean, he thought he was going high and he went low and it just, whoo.
Yeah, because the first angle they showed that punch at, it was like, you know, what happened? Right. Just the way he fell. I knew he got hit, but I heard something, but when they showed that angle, it was just a feint with the jab and Erickson Lubin, he just ducked low, which isn't a good thing because he ducked to the side and he kind of, you know, took his eyes off of Charlo, which is something you never do in boxing. You never take your eyes off a fighter. And he just got clipped hard.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that's one of Floyd's favorite moves, but everybody can't do it.
Not everybody,
you know, can't shoulder roll. Everybody can't lean to the left. You know what I mean? He does it all the time. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys see that and think that he's just leaning. No, he knows what he's doing, man.
There's a science to it. You know, it's all about when. You got to know when to use it and why you're using it, not just to look flashy. You know, Floyd knows when to use it. And when you duck low against Charlo when he's stepping in like that, you're going to get hit. And he's not somebody you want to try to mimic anybody else's style. You got to be you. I really hate the fact that this happened so early I kind of hate it. And at the same time, I mean, it's an experience for him, but I kind of hate that happened. That happened to him so early. What about you? What do you think, man?
It's a few ways I think to look at it. I mean, it's a good thing that he's young and probably can recover, but it's a bad thing because he's young and will he be gun shy? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Will that affect him mentally? Because we're not just talking about a knockdown. And he was hurt. He was stiff. It was a bad one. You know, it was a beautiful shot, and he got short circuited. And so, I mean, then you got to realize the times we living in, man. I mean, that image is everywhere to me. You know, just a person still has to deal with that mentally. You know what I'm saying? So it all depends on him, how he can internalize this loss. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be the end of his career, but it very well can be something mentally that he can't get past. You know, it's a lot of trash talk. It's a lot of, you know, ego. So, I mean, some guys, I mean, I don't know.
Because following him in some of his earlier fights as he was coming up, he didn't really seem like the trash talker, right. But it seemed like he kind of let the fight take him out of his element just a little bit. Because, you know, talking about Errol Spence and, you know, the sparring going on with Charlo, and it just didn't seem like he was 100% there. Maybe he was, like you said, maybe he could have been.
I mean, looking in hindsight, I mean, I think that's a good point, because I don't think he was, and he was just riding. He was just riding a nice wave coming in. I mean, Charlo was not a major star, but this is the biggest stage Lubin's ever been on, so you gotta take that into consideration. I mean, this guy's never really done interviews to this capacity. Yeah. So this fight, I mean, he had a busy fight. You know what I mean? It was a lot more in this build up to this fight than he's ever seen, and all that stuff matters come fighting this stage.
Yeah.
You know. This was the biggest stage he's ever been on. You know what I mean? It was just a lot coming into play being early. You know, I mean, the guy's not, you know, he's still growing. He's still early in the game. So,
yeah, because that's why, it could be a good thing. I mean, it's a learning experience, because it kind of did take him out of his element. Mm-hmm. But now it kind of brings him back down to humble him a little. Right. But like some people were saying, too, they hope it doesn't turn him on that road like Khan, where getting your chin exposed that early, it kind of makes you vulnerable to knockouts all the time. Even if your chin isn't glass, sometimes when you get hit, there's that mental factor that makes you go down.
I mean, what doctors are saying is after the first time, it's easy after that. And like I said, it wasn't a flash knockdown. This guy, I mean, he wasn't unconscious, but he was close to it. You know what I mean? That was a brutal knockout. So, like I said, I think it's really up to the person. You know, this is what the sport is about. It separates the mice from the men. You know what I mean? A real fighter would come back from this, bounce back. But, you know, everybody's not, you know, built for it. You know, because it's mental, too. And it's not just the physical part. You might can take punches, but can you take the mental that goes along with it? Like they say, it's 90% mental.
It's 90% mental. And when you brought that up, it kind of reminded me of something Emmanuel Stewart said once about Roy Jones, like after his first knockout loss. And then the second one, he did say that he spoke to like a neurologist, and he said that once you do get knocked out, or once you suffer brutal knockouts like that, it does knock something loose. Mm-hmm. It knocks something loose where it makes it easier and easier for you to go down.
Absolutely.
You know, that's coming 100% from a boxing trainer.
All right.
So, I mean, like you said, if it isn't mental, it is something physical that will just make you automatically shut down. And so hopefully he can bounce back from that.
Yeah, I mean, physically. He's a young kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best thing about it. You know, you're young, you heal up quick. So he might get, I mean, and these kids are kind of used to this world, this meme and all this making fun. So, you know, maybe he can, you know, navigate through this stuff and come back. I do think he can go on to be a decent fighter. I mean, the kid has some talent, you know, but this is a very, very big learning lesson for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because again, you know, talent wise, you know, he's got the talent. He's still, you know, still a work in progress. Exactly. So I guess it probably wasn't a good idea to take this fight yet. Cause I mean, like you said too, is like, in a way, it was a good knockout, but we felt like, damn, he didn't get a chance to show what he really had.
Yeah, but it sucks, man, because you don't know that till after the fight.
Till after.
You know what I'm saying? Had he went and caught Charlo or went the distance, we would be saying different things about him. But we don't know till, you know, right. The bell rings. So it just so happened he got, you know, it's a same exact thing as in Jacobs and Kid Chocolate. I mean, the fight didn't even really get started. You know, when he got clipped, we don't know what would have happened, you know, had the fight going on. But it just sucks when a guy gets clipped that early because you don't know what could have happened. Yeah. And anybody can get clipped. Just because a guy gets clipped doesn't necessarily mean the other guy was better.
Right.
That's what people have to understand, too. I mean, he just got there first, you know.
Yeah.
He got there first, you know.
It was all about, you know, the right place, right time for Charlo.
Right.
And
like for example, people were talking about a rematch with this. I mean, I don't know if it's worthy of a rematch, to be honest, but
I don't think so. I could pretty much say 100%. I wouldn't want to see a rematch.
Nope, not right now. Anyway.
Not now. Yeah, not like immediately, but maybe after he grows.
Yeah.
Maybe after 3-4 fights, and he wins a belt.
But yeah, maybe down the road. But
But right now, he kind of has to go back into. He just has to be humble and go back to learning a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, 18-0, you are still learning.
Yeah, for sure. You're
still learning. And moving on to Charlo, what do you think about him being, people are saying he's the guy with not much punching power. Do you think he sealed that now?
That's the thing. Even in our last episode, that's what people were saying. He didn't have the power, but I told you I seen him knock a guy down with a jab, and I don't care what anybody, that's power, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this probably solidified that to the naysayers or people who may have thought that, you know, he was lacking power, you know. And then the thing is, maybe people may have misinterpreted or, you know, misunderstood what people were saying. Maybe they said he had power, but his brother had more power. Whatever the case may be, we now know they both got power, and bottom line, they both got power.
Especially, you know, Big Charlo, he's at 160. It'll be at 160 making a statement. We know he has power.
Right.
But Jermell Charlo at 154, you know, with people talking, I think that's really been his incentive to really get him to show everybody that he has the power.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, his last couple fights, they were knockouts, you know, and people are saying he doesn't have the power. I mean, like,
what do you have to do? That's what I'm saying. That's people, the public say anything, you know what I mean? I knock 10 guys. How many guys do I have to knock out to have power? I don't get it.
Because we can go and look at Triple G, you know, Triple G, we know he has power, but he's beating guys up, beating them into submission while we look at Charlo, he's knocking him out.
You know, it's a difference. It is
Wilder,
a difference.
He's knocking him out. That's power. You're still trying to deny him
his power.
His power. I mean, you get in there, you taste that power, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But who do you want to see Charlo face off with next now? Because they've been talking about him facing one of the other champions.
I mean, to me, Ant, that's a no-brainer. We got three guys who just got three belts. These three guys need to mix and match it up. I don't care what order. I mean, do you have a particular order? I don't care what order. I just feel like these three guys need to start trying to unify.
Yeah, I don't have an order either.
You know what I mean?
You know, Lara, he's a heavy hitter in the division. Either him or her, you know, Jared Hurd, what he showed against Austin Trout, I would like to see that style match up just because they're closer in age. Him and Charlo.
Who? Hurd
and
Charlo. Hurd. Mm-hmm. So you want Hurd and Charlo.
Yeah. I would like to see that. Style-wise. Yeah. You know, I think that would be nice for style-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, you know, Lara, we just can't count him out, though. You know what I'm saying? Because he is the older guy, but...
He is the older guy, yeah.
With the experience and... style, it could, you know, present problems for these guys. So we have to see, you know, mm-hmm. but I do think like the main event would be Hurd and Charlo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be after all the smoke is cleared, you know, those mm-hmm. two guys go ahead. But I mean, it might not work out that way.
Yeah.
It could be Lara with one of these guys.
Yeah, know? It could be. I think based off of performances and the drama that was brought in there as far as fights, I think that people might actually want to see Hurd Charlo first. You know, just kind of going off of that because we'll get to Lara's fight in a minute. But at the Lara fight, people were actually kind of booing.
Yeah.
You know, guys, that's people who don't understand.
Yeah, because that's not, I mean, not, you know, he's used to it, because, you know, of that style. So, the bottom line is that these three guys are going to have to meet each other at some point in time. You know, I don't know how it may fall. You know, I mean, because to me, I feel like, okay, if we get Hurd and Charlo, the fight is really gone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the main event. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if it falls that way, so be it. It definitely looks to be a good fight.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Do you think that, what's I say about Charlo? Do you think Charlo is still trying to, think he still wants to fight with Boo Boo? Demetrius Andrade?
I mean, and you knew more about that beef than I really did. I wasn't really invested in that beef. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I mean, I'm wondering where is this guy Boo Boo? Why isn't he getting any fight? Yeah, mix, I mean, right? Why? You know, yeah. I'm starting to wonder about that. I was just looking at a video today, and he was. It was an old video, but it brought him back into my mind. Like, yeah, this guy. People say he got skills and. These guys are getting in the car. Well, where is he at though, Andy? Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination of people not wanting to face him, but at the same time, I think it's just management decisions. I think he needs a better promoter and a better manager to match him up, and that's what a lot of people are kind of looking at because they're saying at least Lara, he can get fights, you know.
Right.
He's still getting some fights, staying busy, but you know we haven't seen Andre in the ring since. March.
And I mean, you know, we talking about a young guy.
Yeah, he's young. You know, before that, he went on almost like a year and a half layoff. And I mean, you're wasting a lot of time. So people are saying you should sign to Al Heyman, get some fights. Yeah. You know?
And that's another thing. And people always talking about people don't want to fight these people. It's hard for me to believe that any boxer is really in fear of another fighter now. I mean, I get not taking small money, and you know it might not be worth the time financially, but
you gotta eat.
I'm not getting these guys not being able to fight for years, you know, unless you like Andre Ward, where your people are keeping you from fighting,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, getting it with a bum, I mean, to me that's better than nothing. You know, you need to stay active. We need something because your boxer can't just sit on the shelf, man.
I feel like that would make your campaign a little bit more, you know, solid as far as, you know, people getting behind you. You'll have more of a backing saying, hey, y'all need to get this guy a fight. Right. He's in here beating up guys. But if you just sitting around waiting, they say, what have you done?
Right. And that's all I was just about to say, that think about Ward. Okay, Ward was accomplished and then had to sit down for 2 years and then came back and made moves. Boo Boo hasn't done enough to sit down yet, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You need to do stuff and then say, oh, well, dang, man, I really want to see this guy. He was knocking everybody out and then he disappeared. Okay, I'm still kind of unfamiliar with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I know fans are unfamiliar with him because, I mean, we see confrontations with him, you know, outside the ring.
Because I just caught him, you know, at the right time when I saw him and then I was just behind him because I was like, this guy has a good dope style. He, you know, entertaining.
Right. I mean, I remember when he first came on the scene a few years ago, but then it disappeared.
It just disappeared because, like I said, he just wasn't making the right choices. You know, his management wasn't getting in fights. So now it's harder for me to back that because I'm saying, what else can you vouch for him on that? You know, like, he's not like he's Andre Ward. With Andre Ward, you can always say when he was on his layoff, he did this already. Mm-hmm. You know, he had all of this already. But with Andre, yeah, like you said, he doesn't have that. All
right.
So he needs to start building it up. You're wasting time. Because, yeah. I mean, Jermell, he's getting fights. Jermell's getting fights, and he's the guy that's knocking people out. People still want to fight him. You know?
All right.
So,
I mean. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, okay, these guys, you know, I mean, Triple G's getting fights. I mean, he's, yeah. you know, there's these fights. People are busy. Yes, I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, that's my thing. There. You know, yeah. people, oh, don't nobody want to fight. Don't nobody want to do this. But it's guys out here constantly fighting.
What? You know? What do you think are signs that a fighter is ducking somebody? Like, what are those symptoms that you really see sometime when you can tell a fighter is being ducked? Or they did?
I mean, when the first thing is people start saying, oh, you need to make a name, you need to fight somebody, nobody knows you, all that stuff. I mean, the thing is, like I told you earlier, probably on the phone or whenever we was talking that, I mean, like, you know, Terrence Crawford calling out people and, you know, Garcia saying, these people saying that he's not going, okay, we'll just run through him. Just eliminate him. If he's not worthy, he's nobody. We'll just run through him. Scratch him off the list and say, okay, I squashed that. That's over. You know, don't just downplay it and say a guy gotta, you know, build his name up. He's a fighter like you guys are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not talking about three weight classes. You're talking about 7 pounds. We don't know if this guy's been, you know, looking at this for a while now. We don't know. But to me, that's one telltale sign is when you come up with the, okay, nobody knows you, you know, that mantra. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah, whenever a fighter is saying they're being ducked, sometimes I think they're trying to hold out for too much money, too.
Yeah. You know, it could be that. That's what I'm saying. It could be that,
more,
too.
Yeah, you think you're worth more than you prove it.
It can be that, too.
Maybe you are, but maybe you got to show it.
Right. And that's why we say, you know, when people saying, oh, nobody wants to fight him, that's why I said a fighter. Mm-hmm. I don't believe fighters are in fear of another man. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that. You know, now the mm-hmm. money might not have been right, whatever the case may be, but I don't believe these guys, that's what they do. They're not scared of people.
Yeah, because more and more you look at it, like, 9 times out of 10, if you've been in sparring, you've been knocked out before.
Yeah, you've been buzzed, you've been ringed, you've been
cut, dropped, for sure. Embarrassed,
humiliated. You done had a black eye, you done had a busted nose.
So, I mean, why would somebody be ducking you? You know, maybe.
That's my thing. You know, I mean, it's a few examples in history that you might, you know, can, like Mike Tyson, you can understand why a person might not want to, didn't want to engage with him. You know what I mean? That was, but that's a special case. You know what I mean?
Right.
Boo Boo ain't threatening. I mean, these guys who talking about people that they ain't regular guys. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Again, it kind of goes back to that question I asked you about what style you would face, the Golovkin style or like a Lara. You know, Andre, he kind of falls in that Lara style, like. The worst he can do is just kind of embarrass you as far as your boxing ability, but it ain't like he's going to knock your head off.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
So I don't really see. Yeah, I don't really see, you know, the duck in there.
I don't. I mean, I think.
That,
I mean,
more smoke clear. I don't see it.
That's another young name at 154 that, mm-hmm. you know, could be in the mix of things. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why it's not. I mean.
Especially whenever this card here was made, you had all three belts on one card.
Right.
You know, you had Laura, Charlo, and Herd.
And honestly, Boo Boo could have slid right in Trout's or Goucher's spot easily. I mean, to be honest.
I'm sure he could have. You know? Sure. Because, I mean, that's just showing you that sooner or later, these guys are going to unify.
Right.
That's why he's got all of these fighters on that one card, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of Herd, man, his fight, that was a good fight, man.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a little bit, I say more, Trout showed more heart than I thought he would, man. I gotta say that.
But that's, you know, the last episode we said it was a crossroad fight, mm-hmm. so I kind of figured he was going to come out
mm-hmm.
with guns blazing. This is it. And I mean, not to say he won't get another fight, but I mean, he might not be fighting for a title no time soon. You know, and
I don't think so.
And then he's getting up in age. You know, he don't have too much left in him, but I figured he was going to come with everything. He knew that Herb was a guy who wanted to make a name off him, and that can be easily done that. So you got to do what you got to do to make that not happen. You know what I'm saying? Because trust me, they thinking that too. He's saying, oh, I know this guy wants to put me on his resume. You know, I got to do everything I get. Because Trout putting Herb on his resume don't really mean nothing, because Herb ain't really established yet. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different.
But the other way around.
Especially
more, being the first guy to stop him.
Yeah.
You know, it means something.
It's a couple feathers in Herd's hat, you know. Mm-hmm. So, Trout came out and fought like a champ and did the best he could. But, I mean, this is another thing I want to bring up too, Ed. The dynamics of the game is changing. Like, in order for an older fighter to have any success in the game right now, he has to be elite. He has to be elite, because it's killers in every division right now.
Yeah.
It's killers in every division right now. It's not the same where, you know, maybe in the last 10 years, an older guy can hang around. Right now, if you're an older guy hanging around, you got some skills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just turning into a battlefield now.
You got to. If you don't have those skills, and the heart to still perform, those killers,
you're going
to
get eaten alive.
Those killers with best skills.
Dude, from 135 up to 160, you're going to get killed.
You're going to get killed.
You know?
I mean, some of these guys.
And the other divisions are heating up too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because some of these guys that they're still work in progress, but they have that killer instinct.
Yeah,
don't have that killer instinct, you're getting killed in there.
Right.
So, if you're going to hang around, like, say, Trout, the older he gets, he has to kind of adapt to it, you know, adapt his style and whatever he had to do.
I think you're going to see these guys ushering out Ant, because it's going to take a special talent. It's going to take a Floyd Mayweather, a Bernard Hopkins, a guy of that caliber. And who else is really around? Yeah, who else is really around?
Yeah, we don't have that anymore.
Who else is really around, dude? So that's what I'm saying. I mean, these guys who are top tier athletes were able to hang around, but even right now, you see what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Floyd retired, which was an awesome, great thing. And Bernard Hopkins retired, which was a great, awesome thing. I wish he had did it a little earlier, but, you know, I mean, he really finally realized that, dude, this ain't for me no more.
Right. You know? And which, like you said in the last episode with Trout, or like we both said, he never really has that gear to shift and just win a fight off of his skill. He can never just outskill a guy. In this fight, he kind of fought, you know, he did fight the wrong fight. He started high pace.
With a pace that he couldn't keep.
A pace he's never really fought at.
Right.
And he was winning at times. He's making it competitive, winning the first few rounds. But right off top, when I saw that, I was like, he's not going to be able to keep this pace, you know, throwing that many punches and moving around. And, you know, Herb, he's kind of like a guy who just keeps coming forward.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, you're fighting guys as half your age. Yeah, they're not the best skill, but. They just not tired yet. He's a kid. I was full of energy. So, you in there breathing heavy, but this kid is, he's just waiting. He's a kid being a kid.
Yeah, he's just waiting for that moment. And Herb, like I said in the last one, there were some things he still needs to work on as far as like his jab, because he was taking some unnecessary punches. I think him being the longer guy, he should have been dictating the pace with the jab a little bit more, you know, and just because I think he could have stopped Trout earlier.
He had the tools too.
He definitely had the tools too. I think he could have stopped him earlier if he set up the punches more instead of just taking too many.
Yeah.
And I mean, he did get cut, but that was from a headbutt. But, you know, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And I just really felt that he has the size, and he definitely has the, you know, the heart. Because, I mean, there was times when he was trailing the car, but he kept on and on until he was going to stop him one way or the other.
Right.
And I felt that if he would have utilized some of those tools more, he could have got him out of there earlier, you know.
But that's what comes with the experience. And like I say, the division is full of killers, but I'm not saying experienced killers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
they gotta, you know, hone their craft. But, you know, these guys are just young. They raw. They got power. They got athleticism. They all different sizes. I mean, we seeing some of the, like, most freakish sizes for weight classes out. It's just crazy right now. But, you know, these guys still have to get the experience. And the only way you get the experience is fighting each other. Yeah. So that's what they have to do. You know, that's what they have to do.
So with Trout, do you think his trainer made the right decision to stop it whenever he sat down, you think?
I think so. Because it's just like, I mean, after a while, it does become pointless. And, you know, why take one more shot? Why take one more?
Yeah.
Why take one more? I mean, the thing is, I mean, he wasn't beating so bad to the point that something crazy couldn't have happened. But, I mean, why take that chance? Mm-hmm. Why go say just pray for a miracle? I mean, it ain't worth it. I'm sure Trout got a couple dollars in the bank. He got a family, beautiful wife and kids. So, you know, they're looking at it from that perspective, too. You know, we getting paid tonight regardless of whatever happened.
Yeah.
Let me let this man go home and enjoy this paycheck, you know, so.
You know, and the referee, he's always seeing things that the fans aren't seeing.
Yeah, hearing things, seeing things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
That's what makes it interesting how. What it's like to be a referee, because, you know, he's right there seeing Trout taking them punches, and
dude, it got to
see in their eyes and everything.
A boxing referee got to be one of the realest jobs out. I mean, you're in the middle of a fight, you're hearing people wince from punches, you're seeing everything right there.
Yeah.
And then you're in harm's way, eh? Yeah, I mean, so that's like a whole nother episode right there, and the life of a boxing referee. Then think, you got to be in shape.
Yeah,
you know, you can't be flabby. You're moving just as much as a fighter.
Yeah,
people don't realize 12 rounds. You're in there running around just like a boxer. People don't look at that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't got a backup referee. You don't got a sub. You're in there for 12 rounds running around and just thinking. It's tremendous pressure being a referee. You get you make one off call, that could be your ass. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot of pressure. You know, you have to see things and see them clearly and stick to what you see. A lot of times people try to make you change, but, you know, a referee is supposed to stick with, to guns, you know, his first decision, and it is what it is. But that's a whole nother episode, but it got to be a crazy job.
Yeah, it just clicked on me because sometimes sometimes you might take away from the referee and say, why did he do this? Because, you know, Trout looked a little upset that, you know, his trainer and the referee agreed to stop it. But sometimes it's like when they're seeing something, you know, they're reading your eyes and they're right there seeing those punches hit you, you know?
And trust me, in most of those situations, I'm not saying everyone, after the fighter goes home, relaxes, reviews the tape, they always come to realize that that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
90% of the time, if I say, yeah, man, after I went home, and I still think I could have, what's the name, but I'm not mad at him for doing that, because, you know, you see it from a different perspective. And at the end of the fight, you're emotional, your adrenaline pumped up. Yeah. Look, you heard what Lubin said. He could have kept going. Dude, you were stiff on the ground. He said he could have kept going, but that's the mind state that you're in. Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was no way he could.
You're liable to say anything.
Yeah,
in the heat of battle. So it's up to cooler heads to prevail, and, you know, make these conscious decisions that you're not really able to make at that time, man. You're not.
Yeah,
you know, in a fight, you would slap your mama in the fight, and you're not in the right state of mind. So they gotta be. They need people around them that is in the right state of mind
to save them. You know,
yeah. So I mean, Trout. Like I said, he got paid that night regardless. Ain't like, oh, man, now I ain't going to get no, your bills paid that night. You know what I mean? And you live on to fight another day, or live on to enjoy your family, whatever, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a fight, but the referee is, people have to remember, he's not there just to make calls, like low blows or whatever. He's supposed to make sure a fighter isn't killed.
Yeah, and think about it. Think about it. Exactly. People don't think about that either. What if a ref gives a guy the benefit of the doubt and that one more punch kills a guy? The ref got to live with that, eh? Mm-hmm. He has to live with, I let this fight go on too long. That's on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's on him. You know what I mean? So that's another thing. That don't happen in football. That don't happen in basketball. These different refs don't deal with that type of, you know, they don't deal with that type of pressure. You know, they really don't, eh?
No, because a referee is very similar to a surgeon, man, because their life is in his hands, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to make that right call.
Yeah. Whether they know that or not.
Whether not, you know, yeah, whether or not they know,
you know
it.
Whether they know that or not.
You got two lives in your hands. You know? So
they have to, it's an awesome job, man.
It is,
man. Dope, but it's not easy, man.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I mean, that Timothy Bradley decision, I mean, some of these people getting death threats behind, you know, decisions. And I mean, it's a referee who refereed a football game. You might not even know him. The boxing referee, you know him. It's only one. You know what he look like. You know exactly. You know what I mean? So it's just so many levels of pressure that you have to deal with to be a boxing referee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
But yeah, that's definitely something we're going to have to talk about. That's an interesting topic. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. But on to the main event, Aris Landy Lara versus Terrell Gouche. Another fight we call Lara. He put on another boxing clinic. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to talk about the performance too much because, you know, a lot of people that don't know boxing, they boo it or they say it was a boring fight. As far as Lara's performance, I mean, can you knock a guy's style like that?
You absolutely can't if you understand the sweet science and you know what you're looking at, but it's difficult when these type of fighters are not in there with the right opponent either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have somebody like Lara, you know, with that unique style, Cuban style. You know, he's in there scoring points. I mean, he dropped a guy. He's, you know, he's got power to hurt a guy. But you have to have that name in there and to make it kind of interesting. You know, this kid, we didn't know anything about. We didn't know what he was going to bring, really. You know what I mean? We just knew that. I mean, what he was facing Lara, which is not a walk in the park, but we didn't really know what to expect from him. So I could kind of understand that from the fan fare. You know, this is the main event. You know, why is this the main event? If
Because remember, I asked you that last time. I was like, why is this Carlo Lubin fight?
Exactly. But I do, you know, for people who want to be entertained and for this to be billed as the main event, and you got a guy who don't have a crowd pleasing style facing a guy that we don't know anything about. I mean, that might not be an entertaining night for the casual boxing fan.
Right.
You know, but.
And I mean, that is a good point, because when people see Lara versus Gouche, they are saying, who is Gouche? And when he gets in there, they expect you to blow him out. Expect you to take him out. Now, if it's a fight, Lara versus Charlo, that right there is already.
Even Canelo, you know, that's interesting. Canelo, okay.
Yeah, you know, that.
Well, Lara, he's born, but, oh, he's fighting Canelo. Canelo ain't born. You know, that name, you know,
there's
that dance
partner.
There's
always going to be that tension and that drama, however the fight turns out. But I can understand a little bit, like I said, Gouche fight, I feel like it was a little bit early for him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they should have let him build himself up a little.
Another premature fight, you know. Especially for it to be the main event, dude. We never heard of you and you making to the main event, you know.
I mean, Lara, I gotta give him his props. Yeah, he's been around a while, and this was like his 6th, 7th title defense.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, I mean, they could have found somebody else for him, you know.
Give
Gouche a chance to grow a little.
Right.
You know, so.
And they probably should have had Gouche and Lubin. You know, I mean, they could have mixed that card up a little, made it a little more interesting. Trout and Lar.
Yep.
They fought already once, right?
Trout and Lar. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
But they could have mixed it up and made it a little more interesting. But overall, though, and it was a good weekend for boxing. And, you know, don't forget we had Santa Cruz fighting.
And we had Groves fighting.
I
missed it Saturday, but I went back and watched it.
Yeah.
He was fighting Chris Avalos.
Yeah.
And it was a good fight. I think the referee in that case, before we talked about the referee, I was gonna say that he kind of stopped the fight prematurely.
Yeah.
But again, the referee must have saw something, because I mean there were some hard punches that Santa Cruz was hitting him with, you know, from round 1 to round 8.
And think of it, I mean, and that's what I say, and it, I mean, it would be very interesting to be in the ref's shoes and be able to watch a fight from that perspective. Mm-hmm. As you're talking about a guy like Santa Cruz throwing 100 punches around.
Yeah,
he's, you know, I mean, if he's landing 80 of them around, I mean,
he's just so awkward and
lengthy, yeah, you know, that so accumulated busy. Punishment. Yeah. I mean, because the ref might be counting the punches like that. Man, this dude's it's got like hit headshot, 60 like, times. You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. It just ain't good. So I mean, it's one of those things, man. You damned if you do, you damned if you don't. If you call it too early, they're gonna be mad. If you call it too late, they're gonna be mad at you. Know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't let it go to that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because, yeah, overall, I say Santa Cruz just outgunned him. I mean, yeah, he just kept beating him punch for punch.
But Groves, he was fighting some guy named Cox I'm not too familiar with. But it was just another, you know, stay busy fight for these guys. And that's what I'm saying. There's stay busy fights out there. You know, it's fights out there.
They got to be those stay busy fights. If you can't find a big name yet, stay busy.
Right.
Stay busy because your craft, it's not going to evolve unless you stay in the ring.
Right.
It's not going to evolve as you stay in the ring. And, also Abner Mares, you know, he fought on the
same Abner Mares. It was a crazy weekend for fights.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather see a stay busy fight, you know, just being a fan. I want to see a stay busy fight.
Because you want to see, we're fans. Names. We want to see these guys doing what they do. We don't want to see you commentating. We don't want to see you in the club. We don't want to, we want to see you fighting.
Yeah, man.
You know?
But moving on to, this wasn't a fight, but it was some, you know, there was some tension there. You could feel it, man, between the Showtime fights, Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. Mm-hmm. And Deontay Wilder, you know, he was there sitting as they were talking. The other commentator, you know, he asked both of them, asked Errol Spence is who he wants to fight next. And, you know, is he ready for that fight with Keith Thurman? And that's why I can take my hat off to Errol Spence in this situation, because he's just so short and real with his answers. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready anytime. He said, I'm not here to talk about the purse or where the fight's going to be. I just want to fight. Whoever it is, I'm going to fight him.
And that's what I'm saying. It ain't all that, build your name up. I got to do this. What else is it to say? Yes or no?
It's yes or no.
Yes or no.
You hold the belts. You the guy I'm coming for. That's pretty much it. Because his name, Errol Spence is already a name in the division.
Yeah.
You know, he's already a name. He has a belt. People are scared of him.
Yeah.
You got the other two belts. Make it happen.
He very well qualifies. Very well qualifies.
Oh, yeah.
To face you. And then he calling you out. What more do you need?
Right there.
What more do you need?
Then when he asked for Keith Thurman, you know, this is where a lot of people have just been going online, losing respect for him, because it was like the whole runaround. It wasn't a yes or a no.
Yeah.
And like I told you, I follow Keith Thurman because I'm still a fan of him, but you losing some points here, man, because one of the first things he always said was, my goal as a fighter is to be undisputed champion 147. You got your WBA belt, you got the other belt from Danny Garcia. Errol Spence got that other belt.
Mm-hmm.
And other people were saying he got the other belt, but you ain't calling him out.
Right.
I mean, we know it ain't going to be your next fight because you had surgery.
Right.
But people want to see that fight, and you got to tell them.
Right.
Because he was talking to Keith Thurman, talking to Errol Spence, like, you know, that boy did the check. Called him boy like he a little kid.
Yeah, you were telling me how he was, like, kind of talking down to him, mm-hmm. and they're like a year apart or some crap.
Yeah. Keith Thurman is 28, Errol Spence is 27. Show him that respect. He's a fellow champion. And y'all are in the same era. It's not like he's coming to take the old line. No, y'all are both in your prime.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you were calling Mayweather out. Mayweather is about done.
Right.
Errol Spence is a guy.
And that's the craziest crap that's going on. That's what I'm saying. People don't want to. Now, Keith Thurman, I never was a big fan. But, I mean, the guy can box. I liked him. You know, very interesting personality, very articulate. I did, you know, like watching him, but I wasn't impressed. That's a better thing to say. I hadn't been impressed by him. And just the mere thought of Spence and Thurman, I mean, I don't care if Thurman was ready to jump in there. I just see him just not turning out good for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I just don't think he has what it takes to beat a guy like Spence, just flat out. And I don't think he has what it takes to beat a guy like Spence. I don't think he got enough power. I mean, he got some boxing skills, but not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, he got stamina issues. He's, you know, kind of tender to the body. It's not going to be a good thing for him. I know that's your guy, and I mean, I'm not trying to bash your guy or whatever, but you know, I mean, on paper, it don't look like a good fight for him, and I think Keith Thurman knows that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't disagree with anything you say, because number one thing is your mental. You got to show interest in that fight. Does he show interest in that fight?
No, not at all.
You know, does he show interest? I can't say it don't look like he was showing interest. I mean, you want the other belt. You want to be undisputed. Just say you want to fight him at some point.
Right.
If I got the other belts he got, I'm going to say we fight.
Yeah, what's so hard for him to say fight, that, dude?
But we're going to make this fight.
Yeah, people say that and never fight. Yeah. He won't even say it, man.
Yeah.
He won't even say it.
Yeah, because, I mean, whatever the business tactic you using, I really don't feel there is a tactic needed.
What is it? This is a fight that people kind of want to see. It ain't no tactic in the sell list.
People want to see this.
Furthermore, you're unifying the belts at 147. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People want to see that. And then, you know, you're a name. Yeah. Errol Spence is a name. People want to see this who are in the boxing right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We want to see this, you know? Yeah.
Like I say, look, hats off to Crawford. Big respect, much respect to him for calling Errol Spence out. But Errol Spence, Keith Thurman was a fight that I wanted to see just because they're both natural 147.
For sure.
And they've been in the division at the same time.
For sure.
Same age. Nobody's that much older than the next. They're the same age. And
no weight difference. Yeah. It's all fair game with them.
It's all fair game with them.
And I mean, just like other people get pressure for that. This is a fight that has to happen, man. If Keith, you know, like you say, if he won't make this happen, then I mean, yeah, he will lose a lot of respect, because like I say, man, sometimes you just gotta fight, man. Whether you wanna lose, man, somebody gotta lose.
You just got to.
They don't wanna lose, so they just say, I'm not mm-hmm. gonna do that. And it's just,
cause it's just something certain fighters in the past have had, where it was like, whether I win or lose, the hell with it, I did it, and you can't question my heart.
Exactly.
Like, Holyfield,
that's what I'm saying. It was fights back then. You knew what you do was going to get his ass whipped. He still got his ass whipped. You know what I'm saying?
And his stock went up.
Yeah.
You know, his respect went up. But I mean, Keith Thurman always says that he's not afraid to let his old go. I mean,
it's no excuses for nothing, man. It's no excuses for nothing. It's yes or no. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to make this fight happen? Summer 2018. Let us know.
Yeah.
You know? Let us know. Give us something. Give us something as fans to hold on to and at least look forward to. You know what I mean? We already know that Errol Spence's his stamp is already on it. He's just waiting for you. You know? So, I mean, let us know.
He's already got his list. You know? It's crazy. He's got his list. He's like, I'm after Spence. Yeah. I'm after Thurman. I want Pacquiao.
Yeah.
He's just after anybody. I mean, another thing, like a fighter that isn't scared says, like Andre Ward, when he moved up, he was like, don't expect me not to move up to 175 and not call out Kovalev.
Right. And that's why I said about Bud, even though people are, it's a crazy fight, this, that, and that. I mean, I still just commend him for, like I say, wanting to go up to 147 and call out the baddest dude at 147. Yeah. I mean, shit, that's respect to me.
That's respect, because, I mean, if you got the other two belts, you're going to say, I want to be undisputed champion, so you know I'm going to fight you.
Right.
That's what you would say. Y'all was sitting right there. You would at least say some kind of acknowledgement, like, I want your belt. Spence was looking like dead at him with every word, and I give so much props to Spence, because Spence isn't the drama type. He's just smiling. Got that little... You can read his eyes, you know. You know what he's thinking, man, but he's just like,
are you going to do it or not, man?
Are you going to do it? Yes, I said my part. Go ahead and say your part. But it's just something with certain fighters. Like, they're so caught up in the business aspect, and they don't want to admit that a loss would hurt them more than it would.
And think about that too, because that's funny for Keith Thurman, because he's not like a flashy guy. He's not like a fame guy. He's not like an attention guy. You know, he's mm-hmm. he, you know, he's married to, you know, had a wedding over in some other country. He's mm-hmm. not, you know, you would think it's all warrior there. You know what I mean? Because he's not into any of the other stuff.
What was crazy, though, I don't know if you saw this part. I forgot to mention this. He said that Errol Spence was a hungry champion. I've won my second world title. I'm more at peace now. How are you at peace now? I mean, you won your second world title, but you should still be hungry, right?
Right. I mean, that's another thing that goes back to what we talked about earlier, things that people do and say when they duck and fight, saying that's, I mean, you at the prime of your life, you're a champion and you content.
Yeah, he made it sound like he was like, I'm laying back now. I still got this hunger for another belt, but I'm more like,
come on, man. Come on. Those are the things that you say when you don't want to fight in. You know, no young man, you know, was talking like that. You're just coming off an injury. You should be ready, man. I can't wait to get back in the ring. I've been laid up. I've been, you know, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You're
that's 28? What you would think. Yeah.
If I was 28, man, I was a fighter and I had two belts, I'd want the third.
Come on, man. Come on.
I want to be that pound, on, you know, that guy on the record.
Come on.
I mean, do you think we'll, I wasn't saying what year we see the fight, but do you think we'll ever see that fight, man?
Like I told you the other day when we were talking, I think on the phone, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen, but the thing is, Ant, is the more Keith Thurman, you know, does the thing, you know, the antics that he, it makes us want to see this fight more, because we want to see Errol Spence just whip your ass now for you playing around and doing all this stuff now. Mm-hmm. So maybe the pressure will build up and maybe this, you know, bust these pipes and we'll see it in 2018. That's what I'm hoping, man. That's what I'm hoping, because I wasn't really interested, but now I'm very interested. Yeah. You know, it's for the belts, you know, but like you say, it's very evenly matched as far as, you know, age, style, all of that mm-hmm. crap. And this is what Keith Thurman said that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Unify the belts. Wow. So, I'm more interested now, Ant. You know what I mean?
I don't really know. Do you really think there's a psychological game he's trying to play? I mean,
If he is, for one, it's not working. And for two, mm-hmm. what psychological edge or anything do you have off over Spence?
And I don't think Spence is going to fall for anything.
No, I mean, like because amongst the industry, people know Spence is the better guy. People fear Spence. They're not fearing Thurman. Mm-hmm. They're not fearing the Thurman.
Because even whenever he fought Kell Brook had eye broken before that, but he still fought him with 100%, like he was serious, you know?
Yeah, it
wasn't
like
he took him light.
Exactly. And not only that, I mean, he got in there with a guy who could make you look bad. That wasn't a mm-hmm. fight that, you know, people were highly recommending for Errol Spence. I mean, because mm-hmm. Kell Brook is a big 147 and he can box. That fight could have very well, you know, not been good for Spence, but, you know, Errol Spence leveled up and was able to stop the guy, you know. But like I said, Kell Brook is a guy nobody really wanted to dance with that Errol hopped in there with without a problem.
Right. And you know, went overseas.
And went over in his backyard did it. So, I mean, this kid is just displaying things that champions do.
Yeah, anytime, you know? Anywhere. That's
Anytime, anywhere, dude. Anytime. And that's the same thing with Bud. Anytime, anywhere. I'm loving that vibe.
And that's what people want to see. I mean, they don't really want to hear the run around. Are you fighting or not? That's what they want to know. I mean, however your performance is, that's what they want to see. They don't want to hear the runaround.
We don't want to hear that from young guys, eh?
No.
Okay, Floyd, y'all ripped him a new one for this, that, and the other. But this was a 40-year-old man. We talking about kids that ain't even 30.
Yeah, Floyd, he's entitled to it now where he can pick and choose his fights. I mean, it's time to settle down now. It's a business. Entertainment, but like with Keith Thurman and Spence, it's like you gotta fight.
Yeah, man, y'all at the prime. Y'all at the prime of y'all careers. Y'all gotta go ahead and.
In 28, that's not to me. That's not. I know that's the time when you get married and everything. That's But if you a fighter, that's a time when you should still be just as hungry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how marriage would not make you hungry. I mean, marriage is a bill.
Yeah.
That's another mouth to take care of. Family so may be anything, on the way. Yeah, it's motivation. It's
motivation.
Should be. You know, I mean, I don't know this guy's mind state or whatever, but, you know, he's a weird guy. And I mean, no disrespect in a weird way, but he's not the norm of a young guy, a young boxer. He's just not. I mean, the stuff he's into, the way he carries himself, the way he presents himself. But we starting to kind of see through that now, Keith Thurman, because despite all that, you got to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to fight. You can use big words, but you still got to fight, Keith Thurman. Fight.
Still comes down to punches, because it comes back to something we talked about before. Champions, they might have that certain hunger to win the belt, but when do they still carry that hunger to defend it?
Yeah,
you know, exactly. And is he showing that hunger?
Exactly.
You know.
You know what I mean? Because just winning it is part of it. You know what I mean? That should be okay. You know, but I'm not fully, you know, satisfied to hold it down for a while. You know what I mean? It's like buying a Bentley and getting it repossessed the first month. I mean, is that really an accomplishment? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, really,
you get all that money to buy it, then you can't.
Yeah, is it really an accomplishment? Yeah, you know, that's not an accomplishment. You do all you train hard to get a belt and don't defend it.
Don't defend it.
You know, I mean, so you don't really own it.
You don't own
it. Like they say, you got to defend it once. Yeah. The champion, to be a champion, you got to defend the belt once. Because like we say, man, a dude can get a belt by default.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is, Ant. But, you know, this is a fight that I hope we get to see sometime next in the year. Near future. Yeah, 2018, hopefully. And, you know, Keith Thurman, I mean, if he is playing, hopefully he is playing a mind game, man, and he will come around full circle and make this happen. But, you know, right now it's just looking like signs of him not, like you said, and not being interested in this fight.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm a fan of him, but I'm also a fan of boxing and
but think about
overall, and I can tell whenever somebody wants to fight another fighter.
And he putting himself in a bad corner because he can't mention another name.
You can't
mention another name. Don't nobody want to hear you mention nobody else's name, dude, because there's no other person that's more worthy or in front of this kid calling you out who got the third belt. You know what I'm saying? There's no other name. So he kind of putting himself in a bad predicament, eh?
Because he's the one that stated, like I said, stated in the past, you want to be undisputed champion. Well, Spence made it known that he was going to get that belt. He made it a goal to take that other belt, and he took it. So now, what you going to do? Mm-hmm. That's the question. What you going to do?
That's it, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I got to say on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's all we can really say till we see some action. But, you know, I mean, it's something that we want to see, man.
Yeah, man. Is there anything else you want to say in closing?
No, that's really it. I didn't know that Hassan Rockman was on the card, though. Shout out to Hassan. I actually interviewed him back in my Baltimore days. So I'll be looking forward to seeing him tomorrow, man. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff, then. Cool.
Cool. But, yeah, man, just saying in closing, though, like I said last time, you know, boxing, you know, we love it so much because it's like life, man. Yeah. I mean, like just today, man, it's just like getting in the ring to fight. You got to get up every day just to get out. You know, you have to get up to accomplish something. It's not really, it's all about adjusting to whatever it is.
As far as the circumstances, and because it's not going to be, life ain't customized, dude. It's going to be all types of obstacles and hurdles and punches getting thrown at you. And you got to learn to bob and weave, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And if you want to be great at whatever it is you're doing, you got to be able to be great whenever you sit. Whenever you tired, whenever you don't want to be doing what you're doing, you know, and that's what makes it hard sometimes.
That's part of being great.
Yeah, you still got to adjust to it and do it, man. But yeah, man. But that's pretty much all we got this evening. I just wanted to let everybody know to make sure you check us out on iTunes, subscribe, and you can rate us. Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. You can find us on SoundCloud at the Jab hashtag Jab Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And visit us at JabEffect.com. And still have the YouTube channel that'll be coming soon. Again, I'm with my partner P. My name's Anthony. And we're about to sign off. Y'all have a good night.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.